It's Advent. Advent means the arrival, the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have spent our weeks on here. And it's worth thinking about. It's worth the time as we consider the arrival of Jesus. And I know we've done it. I think we've done this for 15 years. Taken this month and gone through hope and peace and joy and love. And there's more, right? Salvation, redemption, adoption, forgiveness, all the things that Jesus Christ in his coming to earth represents. It's the coming, the biggest image we have, of light into darkness. It's actually really important. I think, because I'm so tempted to think I'm going to get out of the darkness and head to the light. I got to get there. When the whole image of Christmas, of Advent, is light into the darkness that we have. Absolutely critical that a baby does change everything. And we need to stop there for a minute because this whole world throws up incredible smoke screens to get you confused about all of this. To think that it's not God coming to you, but you getting to God. To think that we don't, if we would just trust this amazing, when we talk about peace, for example, and the reality is I think, oh, God was so mad at his people in the Old Testament because they said, what were the priests saying? Peace, peace, when there was no peace. Why wasn't there peace? Well, they were supposed to be doing some stuff they weren't doing. And you say, hey, it's okay. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. It's fine when it wasn't fine. And if they would have said, hey, we don't have peace, but you know what? There's a coming peace. And so here comes Jesus, light in the darkness. What does he announce? Peace to you. He is our peace. So my work is to trust that, right? Not to think, oh, no, I got to get my peace. I got to, like the guy, was there a guy? I think there was some guy who kept fighting World War II for like 30 years after it was over. That's the big thing, right? Do you have peace? It's outside of you. Declare it to be true. Do you have hope? It's from events outside of you. You have nothing to do with. You just trust that it's true. The wonder of Jesus Christ born. He comes and gives peace. He comes and gives hope. And we're getting closer to Christmas. This week is on joy. And talk about, oh, I long for joy for you. I want you to have it. I want you to experience it. I want you to know what it is. Because again, it's one of those things that everybody talks about. Don't we all want it? But talk about one of the twisted, misunderstood Bible words. What is this joy? And joy today is in the news, the announcement, the reality. It's not in getting it right. It's light coming into darkness. Did he come? Is that not the most incredible news ever? And to explore that, I want to jump right into our text. Reread it, but you should think through it with me, what it says about joy. So that's what we're going to do in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start with this light announced, that the light was here. It's an amazing story. It's actually something you should treasure in your heart. And I hope causes joy for you. So let's look. It says, in the same region, this is Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We read it earlier, but hear the story again. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. So our setup is total darkness, right? Again, we're going to think about joy. It arrives. We're going to talk about how you're struck by it. It's not a discipline. It's not a choice. It's not a smile pasted on a tired heart. It's not you having to act warm on a cold day. It's, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm joyful. Really, don't hit me. You see joy declared here, and it starts in the darkness. Super important. the middle of nowhere, and it's just dark. People are doing what they should do. These shepherds, they're working. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. They're probably gathered around a fire or something. And then it says this angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were joyful. What? No, it doesn't say that, huh? They were afraid. They were filled with great fear. Yeah, that's what happens when you have alien encounters. Like, seriously, right? Close encounters of the third kind. All of a sudden, this being appeared, shining, obviously. Glory. It's not the host of heaven. It's one being, shines, and all of a sudden, it's like, what in the world? That's when God's showing up. The best news ever just arrived, and their response is fear. Fear, by the way, is a joy killer. You can't be afraid for your life and be joyful. I'm smiling over here. They aren't happy about the interruption. Okay? The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." There's our word, right? And our idea. Good news of great joy spoken to people who are fearful and not joyful by the sudden appearance of an alien angel. What is the good news of great joy? That's why we're here today. For unto you is born this day. This is good news for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's it. That's the good news. The city of David gets a baby, the Savior, Messiah, who is Lord. And you have that news, the angel said, and then there's more. And this will be a sign for you. This is not specifically the good news. Here's a sign of the good news. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So, well, a baby's born, you're going to find him wrapped up in an animal trough. Okay, so, I mean, put yourself there for a second. There they are, and all of a sudden, like this bright light shining on them, and here's this being, and he says this, and you're going to see this. I need some more backup, and so they get backup. Boom. Suddenly, there's with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Oh, the idea is that one angel popped in and said, "Great news of fantastic joy." And as they sort of quivered and said there, said, "Don't be afraid," but it's this baby who's born. And then the whole host of heaven shows up. This chorus of glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And really the best translation to me is peace on earth among favored humans. You realize this is an amazing story for the human race. Why? Have you heard of God? Can even blow your mind that he would become a human being? And he just did. God stoked about this. That's what they're saying, right? He amazed. Okay, well, having seen all this, then we think, then they chose joy. No, it doesn't say that, right? It doesn't say, oh, and therefore, no, all of a sudden the host of heaven disappears. When the angels went away from them into heaven, now they're gone. Okay, think about that for a second. All of a sudden, darkness. Little fire still going. Quiet. They're not jumping up and down. They're not full of joy. The heavenly host has joy, but not them. So they hoofed it over to Bethlehem to check out the animal shelters and see if there's a baby there. That's what they did, right? They went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. This is our introduction to Jesus. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Says, but Mary today treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So Mary's blown away, but I want our focus on the shepherds still, because now they have a little bit different. Now they've seen something. Wow, I had this announcement, and then we ran over to look, and it's true. Oh, there's a new reality. What did they say again? A Messiah, a Savior born to us, and the whole host of heaven is so excited. What? And so then it says they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen as it had been told them. They go away joyful because that language is like the angel language, right? Like if you go up and kind of compare and they're kind of the same words, praising God and glorifying, and there they go. A picture of joy. So what's joy? I mean, there's where it's like we start trying to tease out. It can't be happiness. Happiness is too passing. It has to be something deep and continuing. And do I have that? I think that actually the definition you find in the dictionaries are fine for the word that's being used here, which is great pleasure and happiness. That's what they're doing, right? Amazement, wonder, and excitement. It fits with good tidings of great joy, tidings of great pleasure and happiness, news that makes your heart overflow, news of amazement and wonder and excitement. And so happiness is kind of the feeling, and joy is sort of the depths of happiness. They're very closely linked. But here's the thing. I don't think that they made themselves feel it. Do you?
Well, I'm not sure about this baby. It's kind of stinky. I think I just, well I better praise God anyway.
They're not thinking that. They just go, whoa, it's true, you guys. The aliens showed up, and it was actually angels. The whole host of heaven showed up, and they ran over, and it was true. And it's, wow, this is true. They found something. They didn't make themselves. Certainly not judging if you don't have a feeling, but realize it's proclaimed. It's special. It's an event that caused joy. We can have joy in lots of things. You know, I have joy when my kids do well, or I have joy. Oh, man, sometimes we're in Bellingham. When we get in this season, when it's so dark, occasionally we get this sunny, clear, like I could see 100 miles in the Canadian mountains. Oh, I just go, Lord, this is amazing. I have joy. That's okay, but this is special because of what it's about. Those other announcements pass away, or they fail, or they betray. Not this. This is joy from the amazing news echoing forever. And so when the news hits them, they weren't in a state of joy. It hadn't really been understood by them. But in the midst of the experience, when they got what was going on, the baby is the Savior promised for thousands of years. And they realized it was God's angel speaking to them and the host of heaven proclaiming only for them that they got to see the baby. Oh, they're blown away. They bore the fruit of joy. Again, it's important to get our minds set on this stuff. They didn't choose joy in the midst of a night of cold shepherding. It struck them. I mean, I don't know, I'm going to date myself, but like Mannheim Steamroller showed up with a full symphony all of a sudden in like AD2. They got that gift. I wasn't there. I have to trust it. And so that's why I want to talk for a minute about light received. Because we can talk about, oh, look at this great scene, and I can act it out, and I do a poor job acting it out. There's way, but whoa, it's incredible, you guys, what happened? But then it's like it didn't happen to me, did it? Those guys, they're like my kids on Christmas morning. Even more, because they didn't even know it was Christmas. They weren't expecting a present, and they got a huge one. So I wonder how you receive this light. And I wonder if you see it like this, light coming into darkness, you being in the darkness, and you being given a gift. The greatest gift ever. It hits your face, this light. It warms your heart. There's a gift on your lap, and it isn't Great Aunt Wanda who re-gifts the dollar store used items from the gift junk basket. It's an amazing, incredible gift. This amazing news experience. You get an unexpected hug from your kid. You get a surprising compliment. You get a check for 10 grand, 20 grand, whatever. Real gifts for you. And the response to that is usually joy. Greater the gift, the more shockingly incredibly it is to you, maybe you can't help but have joy. And here's the greatest gift ever, right? Greatest gift ever. Jesus Christ is the gift. He produces joy. I mean, you're thinking maybe this isn't for you. When the fullness of time had come, this is a description of Jesus coming, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Could you have better news? He adopted you by what he did, and you're in his family. And that's a gift. That's a gift because you didn't get it. You didn't deserve it. You weren't thinking about it. And he did it for you. And then it lasts forever. It does. This unending gift. Here's another one. But the free gift. This is the gift we're talking about of Jesus to you. That's why Christmas we give gifts. This is the idea. The free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is a gift to you. Here he's talking about righteousness, right? Goodness, this forever gift of God for people that don't deserve it. Jesus Christ is a gift by what he does for you. He's not talking about whether it's going to rain tomorrow, whether you're getting a new job or a new car, you're having stuff, and those things are gifts sometimes. And we go, oh yeah, that's true. This is a gift that's forever. A wow that's for you. Adoption into his family, peace with God and deliverance and salvation and sanctification and justification, all the big words. So here's the deal. He's a gift. He's not an investment, right? You know this. We've been through this. But I make sure I say it on these days because we start thinking, well, a gift, but you know, I got to pay it back. He's expecting me to accomplish some things for him. And if I don't, then he's not happy with me because what does that bring in? It brings in strings. And the gift of God doesn't have strings. He's not an investment. He's not maximizing his return because then you could worry. Then there's no joy because you're going to worry, are you really doing enough for God? Oh, he's a gift. He's not a transaction, right? He is not. God's not looking for a deal. Like, you know, keep up your end, the Ten Commandments or the New Testament commands or whatever, because the focus then would be on, am I keeping up my end of the deal? And the answer would be, not very well. I'm talking about me. He's a gift. He's not a favor. You know, like God does the work up front and now you owe him. It's true. He made you. It's true. Every single person who's ever lived ever, God made them. But he's not like Marduk, like he made people to be slaves and serve him. He's the king of the universe and he gifts you. The Bible uses the word gift. It uses the word grace. Gift. The words are so closely aligned you could use grace for gift. The mercy of God. You don't pay him back. No, Jesus is a gift from outside. This is light coming to you. Outside comes this gift of light into the darkness to you. Oh, it just happens. It's just the truth.
And the joy can come from your eyes being opened to, whoa, the wonder of receiving this gift. It's on your lap. I think mostly joy is spontaneous. It hits you. The real joy that you say, hey, what I get is the wonder. And we taste the amazement of, is God really for me? And my heart in faith says, yes, he is. Oh, joy. Jesus put it this way, you know. Say, well, did he? Yeah, again, these are texts we know. But think through them with me for a minute. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Man found and covered up. And then the joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He's like, this is such the most amazing thing. It's like you're walking by and you stumble over the greatest treasure you've ever seen. And you're like, I better contact the owner of this land and make sure that he gets this treasure. No way. I'm covering the treasure up and make sure no one else sees it. And I'm buying the land because I want the treasure and I'm not telling anyone. Well, that's not very ethical. It's the best treasure ever. I found it. Woohoo! I'll do anything I can to have it. That's the idea, right? And then, lest you think, because that's a spontaneous finding of something. I found something. It's like, wow, this is a gift of God to me. No one sold it to me. No one says, oh, you found the treasure. Now there's 14 things to make sure you keep it. No, I'm going to go get it. And if I can get it, that's amazing. And then the reality is, you get it. Nothing else matters. But you say, is it really that good for me? I mean, I get the baby Jesus as a gift to the world, that Christmas celebrates God become flesh, the incarnation, all of that. That's a really good question. Keep going, because Jesus gives immediately, says, you know, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of amazing value, great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You got to see the switch in language, right? And now the kingdom of heaven isn't the treasure. The kingdom of heaven is the person looking for fine pearls, and he finds one. Who is he talking about? He's talking about you. This is how God sees you. I'll give anything for you. Okay, let that seep into your heart today. The God of the universe looked at you as you are, who you are now, who you have been, who you will be. He looks at you and he says, I'll give anything for that pearl. Wow. That's how he thinks of me? I mean, surely he'll think of me like, oh, I'm a grain of sand, you know, because I'm not a pearl. I'm not valuable. I don't see myself as, I mean, I got tons of proof that God doesn't actually see me that way. Have you seen my life? When in actuality, this is the word of God to you. God adores you. He gave all he had to get hold of you. So the gift is his action for you. The gift is what he did for you. You're the pearl, right? You're valuable, wanted, and loved right now for the joy set before him. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross. God died. That's the message. And we can say, well, he overcame death and he was victorious and he's strong. Amen. He is all those things. But for me, the treasure, the gift, is that he adores me so much he proved it. And I think to my heart, maybe not to yours, it'd be interesting to think what you think. To my heart, the most amazing proof of him adoring me is that he who sees the universe as the smallest drop in the bucket, who's over everything you can even imagine. You want to get your mind blown, think about how big space is. That God who's over all of that became someone like me. I'm so limited. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm slowly dying. I have no real concept of what it means to be God. I'm not God. He knew and he became someone like me. Why did he do that, you guys? Why the baby? It's because he adores us. I look at myself. You know one thing I know? I know I'm not worthy of it. I'm pretty sure you aren't either. And you've been given this huge and amazing and unearned and surprising gift. That's the idea, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, family forever by God coming to earth. And he says he adores you. He leaves the found sheep to go rescue the lost one. I'm the lost one. He especially loves you. Not with some generic, yeah, I guess, you know, if you said a few words of belief. But it's all been done for you. The receiving of light, of really good news, the tidings of great joy. That means pushing back, you guys. You got to push back on what robs your joy. I know one thing that does. It's been in our text. Fear robs joy. Doesn't it? What kind of fear? The fear of worry of maybe he didn't really do that for me. Maybe I'm not really in the family, but I'll tell you what, he got you into this room to hear that he adores you. He brings you to this place where you eat his body and drink his blood in remembrance that the only thing we have is the gift of him for us. They are absolute evidence that you are clean and forgiven and united to him forever. Why? Because the light is outside of you and for you, and we just receive it. I don't say, okay. If I respond rightly, you know, if I have the appearance of joy, you know what that leads to? It leads to me faking joy. Or it leads to me judging people. Do you know my normal existence is pretty boppy? You wouldn't necessarily know that about me, but when I was growing up, one of my nicknames was Tigger. Please don't call me Tigger. Because it's the Winnie the Pooh little guy that bounces around on his tail or something. Now, how awesome life is? Life's amazing. It's just because my life's been like, oh, dude, God's so kind to me. And I tend to blend over my disappointments. Because for me, I'm generally optimistic and the glass is half full. So I'm more special and holy. No, that's not true, right? That's just personality. That's not even joy. That's not being struck by a gift. That's just a general personality of optimism. And when we kind of start to mix up our joy words, we start to think, oh, well, that's what joy is. That's God giving him joy. That's the fruit of joy. No, it's the personality of boppiness. And actual joy is being overwhelmed and struck by the wonder of the gift for me. And I've had that too. And so it doesn't always last, right? One of the hardest things for people, one of the hardest things, I was in China with someone and the person struggled with depression, and every 3-4 months she would try and get off of her antidepressant because that was evil and we shouldn't need it because nobody should be down. Everyone should be joyful. You ought to be joyful. Doesn't the Bible say rejoice always? Therefore, in our minds, we this is a logic path, we start, well, joy is a choice, and if I could just choose joy, that would be right. So because God is so good in what he's done for me, I need to choose joy, and I don't find it in my heart, so I need to at least say it. And so she would do the whole paste on a smile thing. Well, underneath being sad. But what if joy is being struck by the gift? They're tidings of great joy. The joy is outside of you. The joy is a reality. It is amazing news. You've been saved by God in who you are right now, in the midst of your sin and inability, in the midst of your sadness and wrongness, in the midst of everything wrong that you've ever done. You know who adores you. And this is fabulous news. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, occasionally I bear fruit of joy. I don't always bear the fruit of joy. Just like I don't always bear the fruit of love, and I don't always bear the fruit of patience. We don't seem to get sad at people when they only occasionally show patience. In fact, we get kind of, it's so cool when my family member who I won't name is impatient, and all of a sudden they show patience. I go like, wow, Holy Spirit did something cool. You just had some patience. And then the next week, no patience. And then it happens, oh, more cool fruit. You had some patience. But they don't suddenly, oh, Holy Spirit, boom, now they're just patient. I wish that could happen, man. I would just sit there and poke and poke and poke and poke and poke. Let's see if I can just make sure you keep doing the Holy Spirit thing. Well, what about joy? Shouldn't we be amazed when occasionally, shouldn't we rejoice? Shouldn't it cause us joy when occasionally we see joy in our hearts? Occasionally. And not when we occasionally see it, get so sad that it's not there every single moment of every single day. Like I should be amazed when the Holy Spirit produces love in me. Like I should be incredible when self-control happens. Doesn't happen enough, you know. For my evaluation of what I want to see, and therefore the judger is Dax, and therefore I'm robbing my joy because I'm the one that's going to decide what God does with me. When the news is what? Outside of me. That's the whole point. It's why joy is the fruit of the Spirit. We all sin. We all still fail. We're all still broken. Why should we have joy? That perspective is a robber of joy. Because it takes the amazing wonder of Christ for me and makes it about what have I done for Christ. So don't be sad that it doesn't stay. Eventually that viewpoint is a spiral, right? Because I see that I sin. I get sad that I sin. I see I shouldn't be sad, but I'm sad that I sin. So I'm sad that I'm sad that I'm sad that I sin. And I got to break this cycle. Yeah, realize that your joy is outside of you. The gift is where it's at, you guys. It's most amazing thing ever. We have the most amazing future you could ever know in the entire world. It's unimaginable and it's true. And as soon as you go, that ought to make you happy. And if it doesn't, then there's a problem with you. No, yeah, there's a problem with me. But the reality is, it's still true. He loves us. The command wouldn't be there if we did it, you know. If every time that you like ate food, you wash your dishes, you wouldn't have to have your parents say, wash your dishes. So I wanted to push back just a little bit today on choosing joy. Like, you know, with a little more willpower, you can have a heart that rejoices. I want to push back on people like me who are just sort of like naturally optimistic and calling that joy. I'm prone to thinking I'm joyful when I'm just naturally optimistic. And so as it happens, it's going to be okay, you know, because God really does have us. But that's not the joy of Jesus' light in my life. It's just me. The only way that I really get this spontaneous joy is I get struck by the receiving of a gift. And we've had the gift. And I receive it by faith, by trust. Because, man, I wasn't with the shepherds. I wasn't in the upper room when Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead. I wasn't with Jesus as he died on a cross, and I didn't get to see it with my eyes because I and you walk by faith, not by sight. This is the receiving of the gift. This is why Jesus says stuff like this, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He's got the joy. He's the one that gives it. So as we close, I just hope you see what good tidings Jesus brings for you. What an amazing gift you have today. That you can come and again say, what I really want to do is think about and experience and again come to the wonder of the gift of Christ for me. Here's an example. It's in Ephesians 2, but it's also in 1 Peter 2. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Oh my goodness, people. It's a gift. It says not a word about your needed response to stay His people. About what you're going to accomplish for God. About what your circumstances are going to be like, or even how much sin you're going to conquer. None of that. None of. Here's the gift. You didn't have it. You're in the dark. You deserve nothing. You're so lost, and you've received mercy, and you are His people. You say, Dax, that's really cool, but I'd like a little more. Okay, how about this one? We'll stop after this. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, blessed be God. Why? According to His great mercy, there's the gift. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah, He's done something. He did something to an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You've got inheritance that cannot be taken away, that cannot be besmirched, that cannot like rust or devalue or any. It's kept by God for you. You, who by God's power, not yours, are being guarded right now, today, through trusting Him, faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Can you receive this? Can you receive it and not be like, you know what's going to rob your joy in this is that you won't trust it. You'll say yes, but, no, stop the but, just say yes. Yes. Yes, you have been born again, new life through Jesus, this child that we worship in Advent, that you're amazingly guarded. Right now, this is what the angels sang about. This is the gift to you. You have it all. So that's what I'm getting to you this morning. Gift, that joy isn't something you exercise. It is something that finds you, that hits you, that's a gift by the Holy Spirit because He adores you. The baby is the gift, and He is for us. So whether you today are thinking, I just don't feel it, Dax, that's okay. The gift is still for you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, when He decides to let your heart sing a little, then you sing. You receive the amazing wonder that it's true. Because all of our blessing is because of this baby. He did it for you.